May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 924. Great rock for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. Hymn 924. Together from the Word of God,
from the book of Psalms, reading together from Psalm 118, and then a few verses from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, and reading from verse 33 to the end. First reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth for ever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth for ever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, reading from verse 33 to the end. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. May the Lord bless those two portions of Scripture to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, we seek once more to draw near unto Thee. Oh, that, Lord, we may be drawn to Thee by the cords of Thy love. Oh, that we might come before Thee at this time, Lord, with that deep need of Thee. Oh, the need of Thy grace, the need of Thy mercy, the need of the influence of Thy love upon us, to draw our hearts unto Thee in real and true affection, to Thy great and Thy holy name. Oh, do come, Lord, and come near unto each one of us, and bless each one of us. And, Lord, may we be brought to truly feel after Thee, and that we might seek union and fellowship with Thee, and that Thou wilt come, the Lord Jesus, at this time, to be our helper, and to bring us, Lord, through the gospel, through the preaching of the word, and near unto Thee. And, Lord, we each come with differing needs and differing conditions, Lord. Oh, we do pray, come to each and every one of us at this time. Bless us not only with Thy presence, but, oh, importantly, Lord, the aid and unction of Thy Holy Spirit, oh, to move our poor hearts towards Thee, oh, to bring us, Lord, into that real and true union and fellowship and worship of Thy great and Thy holy name. But we deem it, Lord, to be a blessing, to be enabled to come to the house of Thy prayer this evening hour. Oh, what mercy it is, Lord. Oh, that blessing, Lord. That desire. That real union that we seek with Thee. Oh, a day in Thy courts is better than a thousand. Rather, oh, this mercy, Lord, may come unto us. Be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Oh, Lord, what mercy it is. Oh, than all the tents of wickedness, this world. Oh, Lord, nothing can truly compare to what it is to be found at Thy feet and worshipping Thy great and Thy holy name. And, Lord, may we each be thankful, Lord, that we are come to Thy house of prayer. Lord, reveal and manifest Thyself unto us. Oh, Lord, may we experience those larger blessings to our soul. Thy love, Thy grace, Thy mercy and truth unto us. Oh, Lord, we do pray that we may each partake of the fatness of Thy house, even Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray, Lord, for a morsel of living bread to revive us, Lord, to restore us, to bring us near to Thee, to melt, Lord, our cold hearts, to warm our hearts towards Thee. We seek Thy quickening grace, Lord, at this time. And oh, we pray, Lord, that Thy word and Thy truth may be effectual in our hearts, that it may be that, Lord, that Thou wilt work in us, in Thy grace and power, that Thy word, Lord, shall be a word, a good seed, Lord, that is sown, Lord, and in our hearts, and that it might bear fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Oh, what a mercy it is, Lord, to be one indeed who beareth fruit unto righteousness, even through Thy word and Thy truth. Oh, do undertake for us in this way, that our time and our visitation here might be profitable to us. And Lord, help us to hear and to receive Thy word. And whether, Lord, Thou wilt come, Lord, in chastening, in correction, or in warnings unto us, Lord, whether in doctrine unto righteousness, whether, Lord, that our souls may come into the comfort and the peace and the rest that is in the gospel, to be a blessing to us and confirm us, Lord, in that faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we want, Lord, these confirmations in our poor souls as we journey on. Thy precious promises which are spoken to us in the gospel. But, oh, we want them applied, Lord, by Thy Holy Spirit towards us, that we might live upon them and embrace them in our faith. Thou hast said that Thou wilt never leave nor forsake Thy people. And, Lord, we want to know the truth and the blessing. Oh, as we journey on, Lord, we confess that we forsake Thee so often. We forget Thee and turn our back upon Thee. But, oh, the rich mercy, oh, the promise, I will never leave Thee nor forsake Thee. That, Lord, is our mercy this evening hour. And, Lord, do help us the Lord, to continue and bring us, Lord, into the blessings of thy salvation, the promises of eternal life to our poor souls. O Lord, help us that we might at this time know the blessing and the truth that thou alone hath reserved an inheritance for us, an inheritance undefiled, passeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Oh, do show us, Lord, again and again these rich mercies for our souls, that our souls might live as we journey on. And, Lord, may it be that thou wilt be with us all our journey through, to keep us, Lord, and to preserve us, to keep us from falling, Lord. Oh, there is nothing in ourselves, Lord, to keep us, Lord, in that straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life. It is grace alone, nothing, Lord, in self, nothing in the creature, Lord. And, Lord, we're those that have to confess to many failings and shortcomings, Lord. And if it were not for thy grace, oh, we would fall 1,000 times a day, is the truth, dear Lord, and we confess it, Lord. Oh, but come, Lord, and keep us. We pray thee, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, kept, Lord, by and through the constraining of thy love and thy mercy upon us. Kept, Lord, by that all-sufficient grace needful to us day by day. Lord, sufficient for us, Lord. Not too much, not too little, but sufficient, Lord. And if we want more, Lord, and if we seek more, Lord, which we may, Lord, desire, Lord, in respect of our circumstance, he giveth more grace. And oh, we need it, Lord. And put thy fear into our hearts, Lord. Oh, that holy, reverential fear of thy great and thy holy name, that fear which shall be an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. O Lord, undertake for us, then we pray, and keep and preserve us. Watch over us day by day, Lord, in the manner of our lives here below. Be with us in every part and aspect of our lives, both in providence and in grace. Lord, be with us, Lord, in providence, in our labours here below, and our workplace, Lord, and Lord, the young, the children, Lord, in their schooling and education, Lord, oh, we do pray, Lord, draw near, Lord, in every part and aspect of our lives, and help us prayerfully, Lord, to commit to thee all our needs in respect of these things. We pray, Lord, help us also that we might know what it is to turn aside and to find times and seasons of thought, love and devotion to thy name, times and seasons of taking up thy word and thy truth, seeking union and fellowship with thee. Lord, do grant the desire for these times and seasons, that turning aside, Lord, and that we might be enabled, Lord, through thy Spirit, to learn and to know of thee. Lord, it is little by little and line upon line and precept upon precept that we learn and know of thee. Lord, teach us to number our days in respect of these things and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, we know not the number of our days here below, but we know, Lord, that they are but short and few, even, Lord, the brevity of life, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that we might be able to apply our hearts unto wisdom, to be enabled, Lord, to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Lord, undertake for us. Bring us, Lord, we pray thee, to contemplate the blessedness, Lord, of what it is to be one with Jesus, one in union with him through the blood of the Lamb of God, the hope, Lord, of heaven indeed, through his person and his merits, and the blessedness of what it is to contemplate our heavenly rest. O Lord, undertake for us then. Draw near to each of our needs. Help us by faith to live upon thee and to serve thee in our day and generation. We do pray, be with thy church and people here as they gather together week by week in thy name. O Lord, we pray for thy presence amongst them. We pray, Lord, hear all the prayers and the petitions that are offered up in this place. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt give answers of peace unto them, that come to all their needs, we pray thee. May there be a spiritual prosperity in this thy house. May there be an ingathering of numbers into the kingdom of thy dearly beloved Son. O Lord, we commit these things into thine ever merciful hands. O that thou wilt work it by thy power. O that many may be brought to see the electing love of God to their souls, and draw them to Christ, draw them to his cross, draw them to the blessedness of peace and pardon in their souls, we pray thee. And there may be those that shall be enabled to give testimony to what the Lord has done for them. Lord, be with each of the deacons here. Draw near to them, Lord, and help them, Lord, to give instruction and teaching in respect of the ways of God, to direct the hearts of many unto Scripture. And, O Lord, may it be that there shall indeed, by and through these things, be many that shall be moved towards thee and to know thee, to be their Saviour and Redeemer. So be with us now, Lord. We look once more unto thee for much needed help and grace. Show thy servant thy word and thy truth. And Lord, teach him, and pray that thy word shall prosper, that it shall go forth into the hearts and lives of thy people here, and draw them to Christ, and bless them, Lord, with a token of thine especial love and mercy. And oh, that they may know this day indeed to be that day of rest to their souls, spiritual rest in the person of Jesus. And we pray that thy name shall be glorified in all our worship. So we ask these mercies, and with the pardon and the forgiveness of our every sin, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed, amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. Hymn 1093.
Thank you.
seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the psalm that we read together, Psalm 118, reading together from verse 22, 23 and 24. Psalm 118, reading from verse 22, 23 and 24. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What a precious psalm this is, to be known, to be understood by the Lord's dear people. It begins with mercy, and truly those things that we read together, the headstone of the corner, isn't it also that mercy that is found in the words of our text? The Lord's doing, marvellous in our eyes, what Jesus came to do for sinners. And we can understand the psalmist, beginning with the Lord's mercy. His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say, O spiritual Israel, O let the Lord's dear people now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, yes, the ministers, the Levites, you see, the priests, the ministers, let them also now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let all them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Can we each say that, dear friends? Have we got the fear of the Lord in our poor souls that we can bear testimony to the truth and day by day that the Lord's mercy endureth forever? It is a mercy to us that his mercy will never be withdrawn from us. No, his mercy, our mercy is with him, that he might show his mercy unto us. Oh, this is our blessing today, as we gather together in the mercies of the sanctuary. Oh, isn't this, friends, the place of mercy, the place where God dwelleth with his people and is in the midst of them? This is Zion, friends, God and his people dwelling together. Oh, there is none, dear friends, like unto the Lord's dear people, God and his people together. Oh, see the blessedness of that, the mystical body of the church, dear friends, the church's living head. Oh, they're one together. You see, Christ and his people are one together. This is our mercy. But oh, we will come to the words of our text, for without any doubt whatsoever, there is mercy in the words of our text. But you know, there are times and seasons when the Lord's ministers, they have some solemn truths to speak. Solemn truths to speak. And our first verse, the 22nd verse is a most solemn verse indeed. The stone which the builders refused. I have been speaking today at Fenstanton of a building that has been raised up. It is a building, friends, that is being raised up today, the spiritual building, the house of God, the Lord's dear people, each and every one of them. They are a building being raised up together. If we just look at that text, then you may understand what I've been speaking from today at Fenstanton. The blessedness of this truth, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Ah, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. Oh, the blessedness of the gospel. And all that has been prepared, so arranged, so precisely and accurately and perfectly, all joined in the covenant of grace, so that a church, a people, should be raised up, a spiritual building to the Lord. But the words of our text bear testimony, a solemn testimony, that there were those who refused the Lord Jesus. The stone which the builders refused. Oh, let us have a look at these builders, dear friends, because I do pray that not one of us here will be one of these builders, the builders here that are spoken of. It will be a very solemn place for us to be found in at the last and at the end of our days, if we fall into this category of builders that are spoken of here, because these builders refused this cornerstone, refused it. And we read that portion in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, so that we can see how that the gospel was so set forth in this 118th Psalm, that the Lord did take that word and he spoke it here amongst the scribes and the Pharisees, and it was a word that belonged to them. And Jesus said in respect of them, did ye never read in the scriptures? That was their trouble. That was their trouble. They never read in the scriptures. That was the trouble with the scribes and the Pharisees, friends. The scriptures. Never put them down, dear friends. There is life. There is salvation here. Pray to the Lord that you may be given an appetite and a desire to take the scriptures. To pray over the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord to enlighten our eyes. The wonderful truths that are found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. Dear friends, Jesus came, the faithful and the true witness. He bore testimony to himself. He bore testimony to the work that he was sent to do. He bore testimony to the will of his heavenly Father that sent him. He fulfilled all that Scripture spake of him from Moses and through the prophets. He came and bore testimony to himself through the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said, Psalm 40, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. And he came and preached righteousness in the great congregation. They refused him. They would not search the scriptures. He came and bore testimony to his messiahship, the miracles that he performed, which gave a true testimony of scripture, that he was that one that was able to open blind eyes, to make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He bore testimony to scripture. And they would not look into scripture. Did ye never read in the scriptures? Friends, do read in the scriptures. They bear testimony of Jesus. They bear testimony to this stone that we shall speak of in a moment. But first, the solemn truths that belong to those that refused this stone. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Just want to show, dear friends, at this time, the solemn truth in respect of those that did refuse, those that wouldn't seek. In the glorious preaching of the gospel, we have Peter in the preaching of the gospel in the Acts of the Apostles bearing testimony to this word, if I can just find it in the fourth chapter. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That lame man that Peter healed through Jesus, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And then Peter once more in his epistle spake of that same stone. And I do pray that you may take regard and notice of these words. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Friends, pray that there may be never any stumbling at the word of God in respect of thy deep need of Jesus. Friends, if there is anything here that we cannot understand, take it to Jesus. Don't, friends, try and work it out in our poor minds, dear friends. It will come to nothing. Carnal sense and reason, dear friends, will never find a way to heaven. No, dear friends, it is by and through the teaching of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Go to Jesus. Ask him. He is ready to hear the prayer of the poor and the needy. But this truth in respect of those that are spoken of here, the stone which the builders refused. When Paul was preaching the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, a very solemn truth, Paul spake. There were some that believed, there were some that did not believe. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Oh friends, I do pray that you will never be left in the experience of those words. You have the preaching of the gospel of Jesus before you. You have his word of truth and grace. You have his mercy that is shown to sinners. You have the blessedness of Christ and his cross, which is set before you, the wonder of salvation to sinners set before you. This was in the manner of Paul's preaching. Be it a little earlier, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh, the wonderful preaching of Paul, a precious Jesus. Pardon and forgiveness of sins through him. And the solemn truth, dear friends, their hearts were hardened against this truth and blessing. And then this solemn judgment. Seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Oh, that is how, do you know, that is how they made a judgment of their never dying soul. Unworthy of everlasting life. Friends, what is it? Why, friends, it's everlasting, eternal destruction to the soul. No return. Dear friends, no return. Lost. Ruined. Absolute. And that is how they accounted their own souls. Oh, friends, never be left in that place and position, dear friends. Never. I just want to speak another word in respect of this, because it is important. I do pray that you just may bear with me for a moment in respect of this. The Lord Jesus spake wonderfully in Proverbs chapter 8. He spake through the prophet. And it is a chapter in that 8th chapter of Proverbs that it belongs to Jesus. Dear friend, Jesus. It's in the whole of the chapter. Here is our wisdom. Jesus. There is a blessing shown to us at the end of that chapter. Then there is a very solemn truth. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. And then, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Friends, a very solemn word that, isn't it? For he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. This is Jesus speaking here. He that sinneth against me. These scribes and these Pharisees, dear friends, and all the rulers, oh, they were envious of him. They wronged him. You see, he was a devil. He was an imposter. He was a Samaritan. And friends, the solemn truth in respect of their judgment of him, they would rather have a murderer than Jesus. Oh yes, the solemn truth of that. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. What does that word mean, wrongeth his own soul? It means missing the mark. That's what it means, missing the mark. What is this mark that they have missed? It is the mark, dear friends, of God's eternal love to his people. His grace, his love and mercy to sinners. His everlasting love, friends, his electing love. His choice of a few that he would redeem and save. They miss the mark, dear friends, of God's love. They miss the mark, dear friends, of God's salvation in a precious Christ and through his cross. They miss the mark, dear friends, of what God had provided to bring salvation to his people. They miss the mark, dear friends. Oh, it passed by them. Oh, they stood so much in their own righteousness. They stood, friends, in their own intellect, in their own knowledge of things. The solemn truth of that, dear friends. Oh, when I speak of these things, pray that they may not belong to you. They miss the mark, dear friends, of the blessedness of Christ's incarnation, his mediation, his blood and his righteousness. They missed the mark, dear friends. They missed the mark of God's covenant love and mercy. They missed the mark of the scriptures. They missed the mark, dear friends. What is the mark? Christ, that's what they missed. And I pray that none here shall miss the mark. The end, friends, of those that miss the mark is most solemn indeed. Everlasting destruction. Banished forever, cast in the pit of destruction. Now these things, dear friends, have to be preached. They're in the word of the Lord. They have to be preached about. And friends, I do pray that you may be blessed with an hearing ear, and that you may understand, and that you may be brought away and from the error of the scribes and the Pharisees. And friends, all false teaching today, yes, all false errors, false truths, false prophets, false teachers, try them, dear friends, prove them. Whether the Lord has sent them, Because if the Lord hasn't sent them, dear friends, then this, you will lose the mark. The Lord is shown to us and given to us the way of salvation. And if we come to these words of our text, that the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Now, friends, I pray, do not miss the mark. Jesus was sent of God the Father. He was sent to save and to redeem his people from their sins. And Jesus came and fulfilled all his heavenly Father's will concerning that salvation of his church and people. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear friends, it's in Jesus. And I spoke of this stone today, earlier today. Friends, Jesus. I understand this stone to be a foundation that God has laid for the salvation of his people. We may just see that truth in "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves." Dear friends, Jesus came. The provision, the blessing of our God into this sin-cursed world in the nature of the children whom he came to save, except sin, body and soul together. Jesus. And he came, friends, and fulfilled the mission of salvation by laying down his life at Calvary's tree. And he laid down his life for his people, to redeem them from their sins, to save them, to bring them unto God the Father. This is the stone. And friends, we want the blessing of this stone in our poor souls. We want the confirmation of this stone. In other words, we want the cross of Christ, dear friends, to be a testimony in our poor souls that Christ came to save us and from our sins and iniquities in a very real and personal way. Real religion is personal. You know, when that woman of Samaria went and told the men of the city, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ?" A little while afterwards, they came back and they said, not because of her word and what she had said, but they have heard him for themselves. Oh, dear friends, that personal, real religion that God will give to his people, and it will bring them to Christ. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because thy saying, For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Personal, isn't it? And we want to come into that real and true personal religion. And what a mercy it is to be drawn to the cross of Christ through the gospel. And we have the wonderful provision of the gospel of the grace of God. But I thought of that word in in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, and in chapter 3. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And friends, this is the foundation that has been laid. Paul loved to preach Christ and him crucified. It was a wonderment to his poor soul, dear friends. Christ and him crucified. Oh, that awful man, dear friends. And the Lord showed grace and mercy to him and changed him from the error of his ways. Brought him to see and feel his need of Jesus as his Saviour and Redeemer. And now he preacheth Christ. And he has been given grace to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, he is preaching this stone, dear friends. The cross of Christ, the foundation that Jesus laid. It is now in the preaching of the gospel. Friends, what a mercy it will be to be drawn to Christ, to feel our need of him. It is said in another place, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And friends, in another place, in the Gospels, he sent his servants out in the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. Compel them. Friends, it isn't harshly. It's compelling grace, dear friends, that will bring the church to Jesus. And this is the gospel that we have today. And friends, do not refuse him that is preached and set forth through the gospel. Pray about thy soul. Pray about thy needs. Draw near to Jesus. Beg and pray. I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. What a mercy it is to be brought there. You know, to be broken up by this stone. It was a passage a little further on, wasn't it? In the Matthew there, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Friend, what a mercy, friends, to be brought to nothing by and through this stone, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel to show to us our great need of a Saviour. Friends, he will break the sinner up. He will break up all the hardness and all the rebellion in the soul. He will remove from us, friends, all our pride, all our arrogance, as he did Saul of Tarsus. All that is of self and the creature, friends, he will break it up, friends. The hardened and the rebellious heart, he will give a heart of flesh, a heart humbled and broken, but penitent before Jesus. and speak comfortably unto the soul. This is the mercy that we have in the preaching of the cross today. And I pray, dear friends, that it may belong to all that are found here. Friends, do not be left like these scribes and these Pharisees, missing the mark. We want that mark, that stone, that cross of Christ, to be an indelible mark in our poor souls, dear friends, that Jesus came to save and to redeem us from our sins, to put them away, to blot them out forever. That is what we want today, dear friends. And may the Lord bless each one with a seeking desire. We're in the day of grace, a day of mercy. The Lord is to be found in the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, but the gospel in the scriptures of truth. The scribes and the Pharisees despised the scriptures. Those two men on the Emmaus road, they welcomed the scriptures. Christ preached to them, beginning from Moses through the prophets, and their poor souls burned within them. What a difference, dear friends, as our poor souls burned within us, as a precious Christ has been revealed on the cross at Calvary. You know, when I was meditating upon this word, I confess this. I saw that man, despised and rejected, but I saw him to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, he was, dear friends. My eyes flooded with tears, dear friends, at the thought, this dear man upon the cross, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was in my place upon that cross, what I deserved for my sins, and yet he was in my place, my room and my stead. Friends, I couldn't contain myself. Such a wretch as I should be so blessed that Jesus should come in a very real and personal way and into this world and go forth to that cross, suffer, bleed and die for my sins, that I should be blessed with pardon and forgiveness. A miracle of grace, dear friends, a miracle of grace. Just coming . This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. Dear friends, thank the Lord. Thank our God. It is his doing. It is his work of grace in our souls. But it is his covenant in respect of his dearly beloved Son. All our salvation, friends, belongs to what God has done and wrought in Jesus. He has provided, friends, the most wonderful and blessed sacrifice for the sins of his people. And the wonderment of it, marvellous wonderment, that's what it means. Friends, is it a wonderment to our poor souls continually? The wonderment, the whole of our salvation, dear friends, in this one blessed and glorious person upon the cross at Calvary. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. Is it marvellous in our eyes, dear friends? A wonderment of grace, a sinner saved by grace. Peter terms our God to be the God of all grace? Isn't it surely shown to us here in the blessedness of his dearly beloved Son, the God of all grace? But this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. You see, first, let us think of a day. The incarnation of the dear Lord Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. You see, the faith, dear friends, of those Old Testament saints waited those thousands of years for the coming of Jesus. Oh, how strong was their faith, dear friends. They waited, they waited, they waited. Still he hadn't come, but their faith was strong. He will come because God has promised it. And at the time of his incarnation, oh, what a day that was, dear friends. Oh, what a day of rejoicing it was. This is the day that the Lord hath blessed. Isn't it, dear friends? You see, his name shall be called Jesus, Saviour. What a blessing. His incarnation, his name, Jesus. Immediately we go to the cross, don't we? Jesus. This is the day which the Lord hath made. This day, dear friends, that Jesus laid the foundation of the building of the church. Yes, dear friends. A crucified Saviour, and the church is being raised up on that foundation today. The foundation that Jesus hath laid. Pray, dear friends, that we each may be raised up, that glorious and blessed building that Christ is raising up today. And then, this is the day which the Lord hath made, the Lord's day. Today, the Lord's day. Was there any desire for this day? We were coming to the Lord's day. You know what it does typify, don't you? The resurrection of the dear Lord Jesus. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You see, when Jesus came forth from the prison house, as it were, from the tomb, what was it a testimony to, dear friends? It was to that satisfaction that he gave at Calvary, where in his perfect obedience and sacrifice, he laid down his life for the sins of his people. And friends, the satisfaction of that sacrifice, Jesus came forth from the tomb, burst forth from the tomb as it were. His triumph, dear friends, over world, flesh and devil. And that world, flesh and devil that was in our hearts by nature, Christ triumphed. You see, he saw his seed after him. His resurrection now ascended into heaven, the right hand of his Father in glory. And friends, what is he doing there? He is gathering the fruits of his sufferings and death at Calvary. And they're being gathered today, dear friends. We've been speaking of gathering at Fenstanton. They're being gathered today, the fruits of his sufferings and death. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And what do we see of this day? The day of salvation, isn't it? And then there is another day, isn't there, dear friends, which I do believe we shall always remember. The day of our espousals. The day when we were drawn to Jesus, drawn to his cross. Oh, can we forget that day, dear friends? The day that the Lord hath made it precious to our poor souls, and made Christ precious to us. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Friends, I do hope that today, that each one of us have rejoiced in the God of our salvation, in the blessings that belong to us through the gospel, and the hope of eternal life. Dear friends, it all springs forth from this stone, this foundation that Christ hath made for the church to be raised up and built upon, and remember that it is an everlasting salvation. They shall abide forever and be with Jesus in paradise. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £730, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 698. Pause my soul and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the Church's living head? Hymn 698.
do pray, own and bless the services of thy house this day and all that has been attended to in thy name. Pray that thy word and thy truth may prosper in the souls of thy people and bear fruit unto righteousness. May thy name have all the glory and the praise. Pardon all that has been amiss and sinful with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety, Lord. Be with us in every part and aspect of our lives and go before us in the way. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.